good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy Monday show for you. Joe Zepecki is going to be joining us at 10:30. We have had a number of people ask if we can continue talking more about Project 2025.
Yeah.
And how it would essentially remake democracy, not necessarily in a good way.
Would we call it democracy after that?
No, I don't think you could call it democracy after that. So, Joe Zepecki joining us at 10:33 to talk about Project 2025 at 11:06. Looking forward to this discussion. Two women on completely opposite sides of the abortion issue and what they can agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be really interesting.
Yes, indeed.
And that's at 11:06, 11:50. If you're going to be flying this summer, even if you're flying later in the year,
yeah.
TSA PreCheck, it's a pretty great thing.
We're talking about it.
Yeah. My husband and I have had it for about a decade. It is so worth it. And now it's going to be easier for you to get TSA PreCheck. So Summer Hargraves from Mitchell International Airport, Summer Hargraves from Mitchell Airport joining us at 11:50 to talk about TSA PreCheck and how you can get that, which will make your life easier again if you travel. Did want to start off by offering our condolences.
Yes.
News broke that Marquette University President Michael Lovell died on Sunday in Italy. He had been fighting cancer for about 3 years and was at the head of Wisconsin's largest private institution, Marquette, for about a decade. He was only 57.
And very loved.
And respected leader of Marquette. He worked at UWM before he took over at Marquette. So our deep condolences to his friends and family and the Marquette University family as well. Wanted to start off, though, with news that broke on Friday. This always seems to happen, Greg Bach.
Yeah, as soon as we walk out of here, we're like,
what? You couldn't have dropped that during the show?
Have a great weekend. Yeah, Hopefully nothing happens.
So, Clarence Thomas is back in the news.
Oh, I'm sure it's his charitable works or he saved a puppy from a burning building.
That you're so close.
Okay.
You're so close. No, we got more details about Clarence Thomas's gifts that he's been getting for the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
Clarence has done really well for himself.
Yeah, it's almost surprising that, like, you know, a couple decades ago, he was complaining about how it's so downtrodden to be a Supreme Court judge. The pay just isn't good.
No.
And they said, it's such hard work. Oh,
we need a raise.
Oh, poor Clarence.
And the reason this kind of jumped out at me, because now we know that Clarence Thomas over the years has taken in almost $4 million. It's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
So just guess what the headline was on Faux News.
I don't know. You tell me.
I will. Beyonce gave SCOTUS Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson concert tickets worth nearly $4,000. Big headline. Big, big, big headline in bold.
How big?
Big, 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 big. Beyonce gave SCOTUS Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson concert tickets worth nearly $4,000. Guess who doesn't really get mentioned in this article? Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is one little thing. Justice Clarence Thomas amended his 2019 filing to reveal two trips to Indonesia and California that were covered by Republican megadonor Harlan Crow. He says they were inadvertently omitted. Whoopsies.
Oopsies. I just forgot to talk about those big trips I took that was funded by a billionaire / DC Comics bad guy. Just Harlan Crow, what a terrible name. Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't think the tickets are worth $4,000. I bet you the resale worth $4,000.
Right.
But yeah, I mentioned this last month when we were talking about these matters, that if Ketanji Brown Jackson, Associate Justice Jackson, were just strolling across the street and happened to walk over a Black Lives Matter piece of art on the street, someone would lose their mind, forgetting for the fact that we have two absolutely corrupted Supreme Court justices on the bench right now. But yeah, talk more about Beyonce.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's trying to distract. And then in the faux news report, they didn't mention how much these trips were worth.
Yeah.
That Clarence Thomas got. Oh, no. That's...
We don't need to talk about that.
Doesn't matter. It's not important.
People need to relax, Jane. Mm-hmm. People need to vacate.
Clarence Thomas belatedly acknowledging, belatedly is right, that Harlan Crowe paid for his trips to Bali in 2019. This was in 2019 that he inadvertently omitted. Oopsies.
That's the other thing, too, is you went back and you're able to do this with no consequence. You go back and go, oopsie doodles, I forgot to do this. I'll go amend that thing from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't get to call my college up and say, hey, can I redo my paper from 2008? No, you forgot to do it. There should be consequences. It all goes back to this. There are no consequences for actions. And as long as they can wait out the media to move on to the next story, which they do because they have to. It's the media and there's things happening. They get to still do whatever they want. And then a year later, they come back and go, oh, yeah, didn't Clarence Thomas accept some gifts? We should write a story about that. And that'll be big news for a day and a half. And then it'll be something else.
Thomas's new filing that was filed on Friday explained he sought and got guidance from his accountant and ethics counsel as part of a review of prior filings that started last year. The gifts were inadvertently omitted at the time of filing, Thomas said on the new form, which primarily covers the 2023 calendar year.
Why you accidentally omitted it? I didn't think I'd get caught.
Thomas later said he'd been advised by ethics officials that personal hospitality from friends doesn't have to be reported. But the new filing appears to be a concession that whatever ambiguity might have existed around traveling, I don't know, private jets and yachts and fancy schmancy hotels owned by third parties, they have long been required to be disclosed.
A concession. Okay, fine. I'll do this one for you. Dude, if I buy you lunch, you forget? Fine. If, buy you a watch, whatever. We can fix it. But we're talking about one guy who is financed. And don't forget, Harlan Crowe bought property and built and has a house that holds the Supreme Court justice's mother. The Clarence Thomas family is part and parcel just in the Harlan Crowe business. Okay? So this isn't just a, oops, my buddy paid for some plane tickets. This is not cheap, not inexpensive, should have been taken care of. And once again, nothing will come of this. No consequences for his corruptive actions.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas filing an amended report on Friday. They like to drop those things on Fridays and hope people will forget over the weekend because so many other things happen. And yes, faux news with this big headline about Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson getting Beyonce tickets valued at $4,000, without mentioning that Clarence Thomas over the years has now accepted up to $4 million.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Harlan Crowe is that Harlan Crowe has businesses that can have cases before the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. And guess who won't recuse themselves? I'll answer that one for you. It's Clarence Thomas.
That would be correct.
Yep.
The Supreme Court, of course, took the unprecedented step last November of adopting a formal ethics code. Last November, this is the first time our Supreme Court justices have had a formal ethics code. However, it lacks an enforcement mechanism.
Yes.
There's no way to put this into effect to have it have any effect.
And a reminder to all the listeners out there, the Congress came to the court and said, we would like to do some kind of oversight with you. We want to make sure that this stays on the straight and narrow. And 100% of them,
yes,
all nine of them,
yes,
said, no, we're good. We have our own thing.
We got this.
Fine. They resisted oversight, all nine of them. This is not a right-left thing. This is a ego and power thing. They didn't want the Congress coming in to try to help. Instead, they said, we got this, and this is how far they've got this. They just made Clarence go back down to the office and submit a piece of paper, probably.
Yeah, and as you said, I mean, there's no enforcement mechanism. There's nothing. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No. The only way you get off the court is if you quit or die now. There's no taking them off the court. There's no impeachment. There's no consequences for actions.
Justice Alito, like Clarence Thomas, has also come under particular scrutiny after flying in a private jet and hanging in Alaska with a hedge fund billionaire who had interests before the court. But that's fine. It's fine. A spokesperson for the Administrative Office of U.S. Courts, which processes financial disclosure forms, confirmed that Sam Alito got an extension to file his report, but has not given any reasons for why. You've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. You would think you would be better at getting things in on time after all of these years. It's not like this is a new report.
Well, it's even a report I think they don't believe they need to do.
At all.
Because it doesn't, you know, a trip here, a hang there, these don't qualify. I'm just hanging out with my buddy Harlan. This hedge fund billionaire, he's just taking me to Alaska. I love the show Northern Exposure. We want to go on a tour. It's fine. Don't worry. Jane, you worry too much.
I know I do.
You worry too much about corruption
and ethics
when it's right happening in our faces.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, some new news this morning about Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. We will cover that when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join our conversation at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, political consultant Joseph Pecky will be joining us to talk about Project 2025. Mm. We've had a number of people ask if we could continue talking about this. It's really important, and there's a lot of stuff in there that is not necessarily good.
It's horrifying. It's terrifying.
And it's online. You can find it. Just search for Project 2025. It's like 1,000 pages long.
Yep.
So there's a lot to wade through, but if you can, and we'll put a link in the show notes, I would highly encourage you to take a look at it. We were talking about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, of course, filing an amended report on Friday about all the gifts he's gotten over the years from very generous people who just happened to be his buds. Couldn't possibly have anything coming up in front of the court that might, you know, he might have influence over.
Jane, you have friends.
Yeah.
Your friends have bought you stuff.
I can't tell you how many times my friends have sent me on a full vacation to Bali. It's just, you know.
That's what friends are for.
Absolutely. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
I got a bunch of things to say. First of all, I own an HVAC company, and I have way too many friends. I'm going to go bankrupt if I keep all my friends. I have to start having more people who are not my friends or enemies to put furnaces in. I do favors for all these people all the time, and I don't hear them whining and squawking. Now, another thing is, something you guys said last week when you guys were talking about clearing voter rolls and stuff like that.
Wait.
And you said, it was just last week, you guys were talking about, I don't care who you vote, just vote. And you guys both agreed on that. Now, do you honestly believe that I believe that?
Gary, I don't really, it's none of my business what you believe or not. I truly believe, and I don't want to speak for Jane, but she's the one who said it. It doesn't matter who you vote for. We want you to vote.
We genuinely do want people, Gary, to be involved in the political process.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, it would be nice that they would get educated a little bit and look into issues a little bit to find out what people are standing for and what they say that they're going to do.
But we are talking about the Supreme Court right now. That's the main crux of this conversation, Gary.
Do you think that the Supreme Court should have some ethical rules that they have to follow? All of them, all nine of them, Gary.
Absolutely. And they do need oversight. Everybody needs oversight.
Mm-hmm.
I have oversight. My wife watches me like a hawk. You know, you're supposed to be home at 5 o'clock. I come home at 5:15. There's no supper. No, we all need oversight. So, you know, I listen to you guys all the time. I really enjoy listening to you guys. I learn from you guys. I really do.
Great. Wonderful.
I understand how the other side, I understand how the other side thinks. And if I only listened to, you know, the right-wing people, I wouldn't understand how the other half of the people think. Okay. Now, when you were talking about the Supreme Court, as far as I'm concerned, everybody... You know, when you talk about excusing yourself, recusing yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, I know the word. I just have a hard time getting it out. Recusing yourself. Janet Protasiewicz ran, and while she was running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, she said, I'm going to get rid of gerrymandering, and I'm going to get rid of the abortion rule. Okay, now... Obviously,
where did she, Gary? Because we're talking about new stuff now. It's new business, I guess. There is nothing on record where she says I'm going to get rid of the abortion stuff or get rid of gerrymandering. She made a comment on the old maps that she said they seemed rigged. That's it. But she didn't make grand statements on what she planned on doing once in office.
Well, and if you want to go down that road too, Gary, I mean, Hagedorn, Brian Hagedorn, has long been a proponent for the pro-life side.
And
so,
Daniel Kelly made
comments. I mean, there's all kinds of things we could talk about there. We only have so much time. Thank you, Gary. Really appreciate it. And we just lost the web. And Gary just got cut off. Sorry about that, Gary. Appreciate you listening, as always.
Gary, we didn't hang up on you. Technology did.
Technology did. Seriously, we just lost the... We just lost the interwebs. But I'm glad to hear that you... I really appreciate that you listen.
Yeah.
I do, and I'm delighted that you feel like you learned things, because mm-hmm. that's kind of our goal.
Yeah, that's...
Right? Is to help educate people. We all learn things together. We can do it while we're having some laughs together, mm-hmm. so that everything doesn't have to be so painful.
Yeah, and we're part of the people being educated too. We learn every day.
Absolutely.
We're reading. And I will say this honestly. When I say I don't care who you vote for, I just hope you vote. I do care about who you vote for, because I feel like there is a distinct difference between the candidates, but I still want you to participate. I don't want you to stay home because you feel disenfranchised or because you feel apathetic towards it. And that's more important, is voting. And if you don't believe me, that's fine. I don't mean to sound callous. I don't care, because I can't convince you of that. But that's how I feel. I want you to vote. I want you to take part in the process. And you can do that by going to myvote.gov, myvotewi.gov.
There you go.
To find out who represents you, what's on your ballots, are you registered? You can register there. Do it. Go there. Myvotewi.gov. Boom. I'm bought by Big Voting.
Oh, the big vote money.
Big voter registration.
Ooh, that's a monolith right there, Greg Buck. Just a reminder, too, our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win contest continues all this week. Coming up next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, we will have the word you want to text in from between 11 and 12. And this gives you the chance to pick up some great prizes. Every hour that we play this, someone wins a Wisconsin Dell Summer Prize Pack. Every day, somebody picks up a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. Very good seats.
Very good.
And then we have two grand prize winners who get to choose their staycation, either Fort Atkinson, a cottage on the lake with a pontoon boat, or in Lake Geneva at Harbor Shores, or Door County at the Ridges Inn and Suites.
Is Civic Media also picking up the gas tab?
They are paying for the
gas.
That
is so awesome.
Yep, we want you to have a good staycation. So those are the two grand prizes. Everybody who enters, whether you win an hourly prize, a daily prize, doesn't matter. Everybody who enters will be in the drawing for the two grand prizes. Yep. So this contest goes through Friday. It is all across the state. Mm-hmm. Todd Alma and I have a little competition going on.
Apparently, did we pull ahead?
No, he's beating us.
Oh, I thought we pulled ahead one day.
No, he's one day.
Hey, I'll take it. That's the start. that's the start of the real victory right there. And also, you have to participate through the app.
Yes, download the Civic Media app. Because when we give you the word next hour, you want to text the word via the Civic Media app. That's the only way to enter, so stay tuned for that. All right, news is coming up next, and then when we return, political consultant Joe Zepecki will be here. We're going to talk about Project 2025. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet KLB on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have had a number of people asking us to talk more about this. We have done a couple segments on it, but I think it's important to keep addressing this up until the election. Mm-hmm. So to help us break down Project 2025, political consultant Joe Zepecki joins us. Good morning, Mr. Z. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're staying excellent.
Out of trouble?
Yeah, absolutely.
Never
in trouble. Okay, rarely in trouble. We're fine. But I found this article, Joe, that I thought was an interesting angle on it. It's by Ellie Mastal in Time Magazine. And it just is basically, what is Project 2025? And this article talks really specifically about the Department of Justice and what this would do to the justice system in America, right?
Yeah, there was also mentioned in that article, and I give Jane and Matt Nair on Air all the credit for this. Apparently the kids are starting to talk about this on TikTok.
Good.
Which is really important.
Good.
That people understand what Project 2025 is and how dangerous it is. So this is Heritage and this constellation of extreme right-wing groups that if you thought were conservative 15 years ago, you hadn't seen anything because they have all been captured by the MAGA wing of the Republican Party, which at this point, it's not a Republican Party. It's not a traditional conservative small government party. It is a radical reinterpretation of what the power of the state and what the Constitution means. And so these groups have spent upwards of $20 million writing a playbook for Donald Trump to enact on day one that does everything from put extremists into positions of power within the government, allows the government for the first time to fire civil servants. These are the people who, regardless of administration, whether it's George Bush or Barack Obama or Donald Trump, the civil servants who just do the ordinary work of government. Some of your listeners may remember, I worked in the federal government for Barack Obama at a federal agency. There's a small number of people who are political appointees that change from administration to administration, but there are an awful lot of civil servants who I had the honor of working with who had been there since the Clinton administration or since the first Bush administration. And they're the ones who know how things work to make sure that small businesses can get loans, that tax forms can be filed appropriately. And so the staffing part of it alone, and I'll get to the Department of Justice part of this, where right now, post 9/11, the FBI has a director that is very senior and gets to call the shots because of, in particular, and the reason the post 9/11 of it is the FBI plays a significant role in intelligence gathering and threat assessment to prevent terrorist attacks. What Project 2025 would do is make the FBI a less important in the org chart organization, and rather than have a director who serves a 10-year term, which means it can cross over
administrations
of an administration,
right?
Would have a political appointee, some hack like myself, running the FBI, telling the FBI, this is who you can investigate. These are the crimes you can't investigate. And that should be deeply, deeply concerning to every American.
Joseph Heckey is our guest, and we're talking about Project 2025. We will include this link from this article in Time Magazine about, among the many other things that that Project 2025 would do. It also cracks down on abortion. It's a top-to-bottom overhaul of the Department of Justice. And as you just said, Joe, putting an end to the FBI's efforts to curb the spread of misinformation. This handbook, again, put together by the Heritage Foundation and all these other far right-wing groups. The handbook says the FBI has absolutely no business policing speech. Well, isn't that how we've been able to find and jail some people because they were policing the threats they were making online? Isn't that kind of how some of that works?
Yeah, one of the functions that the FBI does is they engage in counterintelligence and trying to understand where foreign or malign actors are trying to influence the American populace. And so we know that since at least 2016, Russia, China, Iran, bad actors, no friends of the United States, have been trying to use our own communications tools against the American people to, you know, they say misinformation. To me, there's an important distinction. This is about disinformation.
Yes.
Deliberately misinforming, right? The disinformation being deliberate, misinformation being a mistake. If I cite a figure or a statistic about housing prices live on air and I'm off by a few points, that's maybe you could call that misinformation. I made a mistake. If I come on here and deliberately tell your listeners something that is not true to further a political agenda, that is disinformation. And that is something that we cannot countenance. I also want to go back to one of the things you mentioned that's talked about in this Time article, not just abortion, birth control.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, folks.
Oh, yeah.
They want to come after birth control.
And they're already starting.
And this is not just through the administrative state and the executive branch. Last week, the United States Senate, because of these growing fears about Republicans in a post-Dobbs world where there's no Roe v. Wade anymore, trying to restrict access to contraceptives. Republican U.S. senators blocked that bill from even being debated on the floor of the United States Senate. So if you don't think that they're not coming after access to contraception, you're just wrong. This is really scary. And it is, I want to focus on that one because this impacts people's lives, right? There are reasons, aside from family planning, that people rely on contraceptives.
Oh, yes.
To regulate their hormones, to remain healthy. This is a part of just the fabric of our lives. That connects, I think, with many more Americans than the notion of, well, what do I care where the FBI director is on the org chart?
Yeah.
It does matter. It should matter. But it is a little further removed from the lives that we're all just trying to live. And whether you're a young person who is just about wrapping up college or your apprenticeship and you have career goals and you say, I want a family someday, but I want to wait until I've really established myself as a professional. And all of a sudden, access to contraception is being taken away by a MAGA extremist HHS or executive branch. That really impacts your life and the decisions and choices and freedoms that you are able to enjoy. That's messed up. That's scary. And people need to know about it.
Well, and along with the Heritage Foundation, Joe, I think it's important that people appreciate also that some of the men who worked on Project 2025 have strong ties to Christian nationalism, very, very strong ties to Christian nationalism. And that is also feeding, I think, this we're coming for contraception, even though they say that they're not going to. That's not true. And please don't poo-poo me like I heard when that they were going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Oh, that's never going to happen. You're overreacting, you woman, you with woman lady parts. What do you know? They're never going to do that. Well, they did that. And I talked to Pro-Life Wisconsin, Wisconsin Right to Life 30 years ago, and they were talking about contraception then, wanting to get rid of contraception. The Project 2025 agenda includes a crackdown on abortion pills called the single greatest threat to unborn children in a post-Roe world, urging the FDA to reverse the approval of the pills, claiming the approval process was politicized and illegal, which is absolutely not true. There have been more than 100 studies over decades, that have found that both mifepristone and misoprostol, the two abortion-inducing drugs, are safe. It's just infuriating.
You mentioned the Christian nationalism of it all. Saw some reporting over the weekend in the Washington Post. One of these self-described Christian nationalists. This is not us saying about somebody else, they're so radical, I think they must be a Christian nationalist. Oh, no. Russ Vought, who was President Trump's budget chief, describes himself as a Christian nationalist and is apparently in the running to be the White House chief of staff. Here's how the Washington Post reports it. A battle-tested D.C. bureaucrat and self-described Christian nationalist is drawing up detailed plans for a sweeping expansion of presidential power in a second Trump administration. Russ Vought, who served as the former president's budget chief, calls his political strategy for raising longstanding guardrails radical constitutionalism. He has helped craft proposals for Donald Trump to deploy the military to quash civil unrest, seize more control over the Justice Department, and assert the power to withhold congressional appropriations, and that's just on Trump's first day in office.
Oh, and he was going to be...
Wowza. And this is what happened.
Yeah. Go on, Joe. Go on.
I was going to say, this is what happens. The Heritage Foundation spends all this money putting together this report, and now the acolytes who want to bow down to Donald Trump and do his bidding and be in a position of power, they are all singing the songs that were written in that Project 2025 playbook, whether it's the Department of Justice, whether it is we can now use the American military on the streets. This is very real. It is growing on the right. Don't get me started on Johnny McEntee, Mr. Trump's former director of presidential personnel, who has gone completely round the bend. This is really scary, and it's getting worse because the Heritage strategy of we're going to put this out into the ecosystem on the right, and now people are going to start normalizing and talking about it. That is what's happening right in front of our very eyes.
And that's why we're talking about it now, and we're going to keep talking about it until the November election. The implementation of Project 2025 will obliterate the United States of America as we know it. It just will. It will. Many critics have labeled it as authoritarianism. It relies on what legal scholars call unitary executive theory, which essentially throws out the idea there are three separate branches of government for checks and balances. That's terrifying.
Yeah. It is terrifying. And the implications for it domestically are one thing. There are also international concerns and realities. We know that right now Joe Biden is wrapping up, or maybe is on his way back from a 5-day trip to France, including meetings with our allies. Last week was June 6th, the 80th anniversary of the invasion of France to wrest it back from the Nazis. And we saw, probably for one of the last times, these then young men who stormed those beaches and are now around 100 years old.
Yep.
America's standing in the world means something. For literally generations, there has been no better friend. We have served as that shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan talked about. Here's the Democratic, you know, consultant talking about Ronald Reagan. But it mattered that our word was our bond, that people around the world and capitals all over the globe knew that they could count on America to do the right thing. And when you erode the things that make America unique, when you erode the respect for the rule of law, when you empower authoritarianism's wannabe dictators, that changes the global security makeup in ways that will have impacts for generations to come.
Yep. We're going to continue our conversation with Joe Zepecki, political consultant. We're talking about Project 2025. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now it's been 10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525,
good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join our conversation. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream, and if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Our guest is political consultant Joe Zepecki. Always delighted to have him here. We're talking about Project 2025 and what this would mean to democracy in America, and it would essentially blow it up. It would just kind of blow everything up. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Did you have a question for Joe?
Good morning. Well, I actually have two things. First of all, I think immigration would probably solve itself if this comes to fruition, because most people won't want to come here anymore, and some of those who have come here from other countries will probably want to go back. And number two, being a climate person that I am terrified of our collapse, which is not that many years away from us. If we get these Republicans, mega Republicans in, and they undo all the climate ecological things we've put into place to try to save the planet, we will be done a lot sooner than 2025.
I think you're right, Cindy, and they will gut all the environmental protections that have been put into place. Absolutely. Good heavens, Donald Trump was at a fundraising dinner with a bunch of oil executives, and he essentially promised them, if you give me $1 billion, I'll gut everything, and you guys can do whatever you want, wherever you want. It's all good. Go ahead, have fun.
Yep. Scares the crap out of me.
Agreed. Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate it. Going back to the FBI, Joe, looking at this article
Can I just add something?
Yeah,
can
go
I just
ahead.
Add something to
please.
So, because I think when you hear things like unitary executive, a lot of people go, what the heck does that mean? Right? And so, for example, we know that Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress, which without a single Republican vote, passed the largest climate change bill in global history, not just in American history. No country in the world has done a bigger bill, piece of legislation to combat climate change than Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. So what does it mean if Donald Trump becomes president and he starts acting like a unitary executive? It means that on day one, they can just say, we don't agree with this law. We are not going to honor the tax credits in this law. We are not going to live up to the promises made that developers have started to invest, you know, tens of millions of dollars in utility scale solar and wind. And so that would be a very different world to live in than the last enormous Democratic president who accomplished something, the Affordable Care Act. It's become like a joke that Republicans have tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act over 50 times. In a unitary executive system and the radical constitutionalism that these knuckleheads are envisioning, they just wave a wand on day one and it goes away. They don't care whether the Senate and the House repeal something and send a new bill to the president's desk saying, we are once again going to discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions. We're not going to offer plans for people in a public marketplace. The fact that we have checks and balances has protected healthcare reform in this country for going on 15 years now. In a Trump 2.0 term, things like the climate provisions that Biden has gotten through that we all like, they may not enjoy the same protection of those checks and balances. That's really scary. And it leads to a radical change going back and forth that is not stable, which is not good for the economy writ large. It is not good for individual consumers and families who like the certainty of a stock market that they can invest in through a 401k and save for their retirement. The radical swings that this type of governance would lead to is very, very dangerous to everyone's economic well-being. And that's a part of this that people should understand as well.
Joe Zepecki is our guest. He's a political consultant, and we're talking about Project 2025 and the far-reaching impacts this would have on American democracy. I hate to keep harping on this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This Christian nationalist element within these groups, they very, very much have an agenda which not only includes getting rid of all abortion, getting rid of all contraception, they want to get rid of no-fault divorce. They want to make sure that women who are in bad marriages have to stay there because their only concern is about increasing the birth rate. Everybody's got to start popping out babies, ladies. It's our duty.
And the only gun regulation they have any interest in enforcing is when it applies to Hunter Biden. Right. I mean, that's another part of this is violent domestic abusers, almost always men, not always, but almost always men. If they're convicted, they should not be able to own firearms in this country. And we know that the right has no interest in gun safety and making it harder for people who shouldn't have firearms to get access to them. The downstream implications of all of this is a remaking, a reimagining of American society, the likes of which we have never seen, right? The American story is one of slow but steady progress on civil rights, whether it's the right of African Americans to vote, the right of women to vote, whether it is recognition 10 years ago today of same-sex marriages. Those were not radical reimaginings because they were long, hard-fought, and hard-won rights that had become normalized through a nonviolent, you know, resistance movement and marches and protests and starts and stops and introduction of legislation and failure of legislation and then these issues being talked about in political debates. That is the way that you make progress over time. What is really, really scary and really dangerous, and what nobody in America today has really lived through, is a system where it snaps back and forth wildly. One administration, this stuff is all okay. The next administration, none of it is okay. That is a radical way to live that I promise you will impact your life, your livelihood, and how much you love this country far more than paying a little bit more for eggs.
Joseph Hecky has been our guest talking about Project 2025. Thank you so very much, Joe. Hopefully we can get you back on in a couple more weeks and even delve into this a little bit more thoroughly. There's so much in there. It's 900 pages long. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can check it out. Thank you so very much, Joe, my friend. Take care. Stay tuned. News is coming up next. And then when we return, it is our statewide text to win Scani Summer contest. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.